Welcome back to Bibliosinensis.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to season 4.
Wow, we've gotten this far. Yes. Are you tired yet?
I mean, my stamina is definitely waning.
All right, well, just to actually help us with this crutch, we're actually bringing in a new friend.
New friend, new character. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Brian. I am the new friend.
Ooh.
Oh, and I'm a librarian here in Los Angeles.
There you go.
Dig, dig.
So we met Brian through our
film festival,
festival and our convention.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, fun times, man. Those are wild.
I know.
But Brian actually gave us a wonderful piece on the Fan Film Awards, and it was, I called it Hipster Charlie Brown.
It was Hipster Charlie Brown.
It was great.
It totally was.
I mean, come on, Linus has a zine on the Great Pumpkin.
Yes. That was grand.
Yes.
So, this season, we're actually going to be traveling into, I guess, a crevice in the book culture that I didn't think people did not know how to use.
Yeah, we've been getting your feedback, and we realize that a lot of you want more tips about books.
And just learning how to find book readers.
Or just all the goodies, I guess.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to always go to Barnes & Nobles and buy it off the shelf and be excited when you use a 40% off coupon.
Specific.
It is a rush.
Okay.
It is a rush, I will admit.
Bite me. Seriously. Don't tell me that that's not what everybody does.
Yes, I know.
There are ways to get books. And this is actually my favorite way to get books. So, yes, this is going to be really exciting for me. Yeah, so this whole season is about equipping you with just extra little tidbits and things you could know, should know, maybe.
In searching for books.
Yeah, and if you're a voracious reader, maybe these tips will help.
Yes.
Yeah.
And odd myths that people actually come up with, too. So.
Yeah, so, ironically, Brian, you are here to spill the tea with us, right?
Yeah.
Or at least drink it.
As it were. I will mop it all up.
Speaking of which tea are we actually drinking today?
Oh, so Brian picked this. This is the Hobbits's. Why don't I pour some for you? This is actually from the Mary Lou collection. This is a tea we blended. She wanted an evening tea dedicated to cats, her two cats.
Oh, how appropriate.
Which are, what was it, Pippin and
Mary.
Mary.
Yes.
They were named after the Hobbitses.
Yes, Fool of a Took.
Yeah. So, Hobbitses Fairy Fields is actually a decaf apricot, and it has our sage in it. So, it is I actually think it's more of like a savory tea.
Okay.
Because it has that sage note in it with the peach.
All but right, well.
Let's cheers.
Cheers.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding. So, what do you think about it? Because I know you got to smell the whole collection in our office where we are right now, and this is the one that called you. Mm-hmm.
The peach and the sage really sealed the deal for me. I could smell it. I can taste it now. Oh, my God. And I do prefer my teas warm, so this is perfect. It's like being in a nice hot bath.
Oh, yeah. It's still a little hot here in L.A., so... Yeah. I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't have anything iced for you. And he's like, nope, I want it hot.
All right.
Oh, I forgot how cozy this tea was.
I know.
When you said cats and teas, I was like, oh, it's like I thought cats, like memory all alone in the moonlight. Like,
oh,
oh no.
Like mem tea all alone in the moonlight.
Nope.
Fine.
Very specifically Lord of the Rings references or The Hobbit.
The Hobbit. No, so it's...
Is it in Lord of the Rings?
Yes, basically...
That whole world.
Like... Bilbo was already old. Merry and Pippin, they were stealing corn and running away from farmers.
As you do.
As everyone does.
Hobbit's gonna hobbit.
Yeah, yeah. If they had cows, I'm pretty sure they were like cow tipping too, so.
Mm. So, what do you guys think when you drink this? Can you see the Hobbit reference on it?
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's appropriate that it's tea and not coffee. Because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. obviously you go through the first few chapters and you're like, we are spending way too much time in the forest right now.
I mean, we do have a forest blend, which also has sage in it, but...
Understood. Yeah. But Merry and Pippin are the mischievous hobbits.
Oh, so I guess that's cool. It's like a little bit of a balance, because this is kind of a tricky tea. People either really love it or really hate it.
Right.
Because, again, the sage in it, we made sure to go heavy on the sage. And that's why we carried it with an apricot, because we needed something sweet so it wouldn't get too bitter.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. So, let's go right ahead and dive into the whole culture of the library, okay? Let's at least also come to terms that our libraries are so huge here in LA County.
Yes.
That we have an LA system for the libraries, a Pasadena system for the libraries, and I don't know what other systems we may have out there. It feels like constellations, not just like, you know, another planet.
Can I make a confession before we get through?
Go for it. Yeah.
I have 2 library cards because I got away with it. And I need that many books in my life.
Right.
I have the LA County, and I have the LA City.
Yes.
And that's how I get away with, like, getting 30 books a month.
As do most people.
Yes.
In my mind, like, when you said, like, really, only 2?
I know, right? I was like, I mean, there's Burbank library system, too.
Yeah. Burbank, Glendale. Glendale and Pasadena are actually, like, they're the same system for some reason. It's like,
why is that?
I asked the same question. I'm like, you know, something
amiss. I think it's because it might be San Rafael being right next to Osissa Glendale, and that's considered part of the whole, you know, San Gabriel Valley, and Glendale wants to be part of that.
I mean, and that definitely could be the case. I know they went through like an overhaul with their databases, and like oh, Pasadena's has changed, and then oh, for some reason Glendale's has changed at the same time, and it's like, oh, that's right, because they're one and the same.
That's strange.
That is strange. I will actually admit, though, that the Glendale Library has a really good collection of books. If they can entertain high schoolers
too. I can admit that.
Yeah, if they can entertain high schoolers, you know they've done their job well.
Like, that's actually my childhood library, because I was born in Glendale, and, like, I lived there for a while, like, when I'm, you know, before the 2000s rolled around. So, like, to me, it was, like, a huge library, because I'm only, like, yay big.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's wonderful, and the kids' room was beautiful, and it had that tree, and, like, and, oh, this is great, I want to be here forever.
Aw, that's fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
You did that, Glendale, you did that.
Yeah.
We applaud you.
I was a NoHo kid, so... There wasn't really much. They were just like tiny little spaces. But I will admit, because North Hollywood had a whole bunch of martial arts gyms and martial arts shops, I got an extensive amount of collection to read from in international martial arts. Like, I knew about capoeira before capoeira actually got really popular in college. So it was interesting. Very confusing, but very interesting. Like, you know, a majority of, like, Kung Fu masters were, you know, Caucasian. So I would, you know, I would be, like, learning these martial arts from, like, Caucasian, you know, Kung Fu masters. And I'm like, you know what? It had nothing to do with ethnicity to begin with, but what?
Did it feel a little bit like Rex Kwando for you?
Okay. At first, because, you know, you open up, like, I don't know. Okay, this was my favorite, Bruce Tengger. And I'm just like, this guy looks like my high school history teacher, you know? And I'm expecting Rex Kwando, you know? But no, this guy actually went through the stance, you know, perfectly. And he made sure to actually have you understand that, you know, he is an American that actually knew, that actually studied Kung Fu. You should actually pay attention to the way you step, or else you're just gonna, you know, screw your body up. And I really appreciated that, because a lot of, like, the Chinese, like, Asian writers out there were not as eloquent in their writing, you know? which majority of like martial arts teachers are not as eloquent as they like to say they are. They know a lot, but not as eloquent.
It's a skill. It's a really hard skill. Like, you could master your craft, but, like, to communicate the knowledge, it's so difficult.
It is. Yeah. It is. Sure. So, anyways, moving forward, Ozisum, why 30 books?
So, not... I guess I should rephrase that. 30 pieces of media.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of people... I'm sure a lot of, like, 90s kids know this, but... you can get movies at the library. But what I like is now there are digital resources. So I have, like, my version of Netflix, which is Hoopla.
Yay.
And Libby. Oh, I think Libby is just audiobooks at this point. Oh, wait, no. I think they do books, too, right?
Yeah, they do books, audiobooks. I think they have some visual media. Yeah. Like, a little bit. Libby. Yeah.
And Libby, the only thing I don't like about Libby is they do have all of the best sellers.
Yeah.
But the wait list is kind of a pain.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. But then again, the wait list for, like, the best sellers in, like, physical copy is also kind of a pain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And if you know books pre-releasing, I think you can pre-check it out.
Yeah.
And the good thing about doing the waitlist digitally, like, there's none of that, like, oh, that... this is the due date, but the person just decided to hold on to it longer. Like, that's not going to happen digitally. Like, when that due date comes and there's a list, their time is up. Like, it just disappears into the ether and it goes to the next person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitterness begins there. That is the beginning of every reader's bitterness.
That's how it starts.
But I will say that Hoopla, for me, I find the most unique books on that thing. And another thing I love, which a lot of people don't know, is if there's a new movie out that you like, usually the original soundtrack is on there. So, like, we just finished watching, well, not just finished, but pretty recently we watched Cruella.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And it was, like, an homage to the whole punk rock tribute. So I downloaded the original soundtrack, and I just jam out and do my work to that.
Speaking of music, I know that each librarian actually is practically their own catalog of recommendations.
Yeah.
So, like, I know that for the longest time, many years, even Neil Gaiman would actually say, please support your librarians.
Yeah. Oh, fans, this is the time to take the shot, because he just mentioned Neil Gaiman.
Oh my god! What is so wrong with this?
Go, John!
Alright, speaking of which, I need another drink.
Oh.
Yeah, because, like, I noticed that, you know, a lot of the libraries, even in Pasadena, they have, like, their own theme, you know, each one of them. Like,
I noticed that, too. I thought it was just me.
The one across from PCC has, like, the biggest collection of, like, romance novels I have ever seen.
Okay.
Okay, you literally, know? Like, two-thirds of the new La Crescenta library is this, like, epic children's section.
And K-drama DVDs. Sorry.
And then, I think that I found a Burbank one where it was like a fourth of the shelves were just manga and comic books.
I still have debt in that library. Because...
Are you really confessing that in front of a librarian?
Oh, I am so mad at my mom. Okay, she took my library card.
It's his mom's fault.
And like... borrowed Barbara Streisand movies, and I go there after like, what, 10 years? Because I haven't, like, been to the Burbank Library for that long, and I'm like, hi, I just want to, you know, borrow these, you know, these books for research, and then they're like, you have a late fee on Barbara Streisand movies. I'm like, I don't watch Barbara Streisand movies. Are you sure you're looking at the same account? I was like, yes. there's three. Oh, wait, four. And I'm like, okay, the list is going to keep growing. Who do I talk to? And they're like, I'm sorry, it's been so long, you don't even actually pay us. You have to pay this other company. I'm like, whoa. What happened here?
Okay, Brian, explain the system.
America, explain.
So, like, once, basically, your fines went to collections. Like, a lot of, like... because we can't handle everything. It was like, we'll just kind of source that to, like, someone else, and then they'll take care of, like, collecting the money from you. Like, oh. And then, like, you know, like, if it was just late, but, like, late by, like, I don't know, a few weeks or whatever, like, yeah, we'll take care of it. Here's your fine. You pay it at the front. After a certain point, we just assume you lost it.
Okay.
Like, we just make that assumption. Like, it's been gone for, like, a month. Like, okay, collections, you go after them now. It's not our problem. We have, like, other things to do. And they will be the ones to start, like, hounding you with the letters and stuff.
Right.
However, I should take this moment to mention, like, a lot of the, libraries in Los Angeles are going fine-free. I know LA City has done that. The Burbank Public Library has done that. And a lot of them are trying, like, if they haven't done it yet, they probably will... within the next year or so.
Wait, but then people can steal books.
That is a question we have gotten. Just because there's no fines does not mean there's no lost.
Oh, okay.
Like, after a certain point, like, it would eventually go to loss, but in that time, like, if, let's say, it's, like, a week or two late, like, You just return it. Like, you know, there's not going to be, like, a consequence for that. If there's a hold on it, that doesn't apply. So for bestsellers or whatnot, if there's a hold on it, yeah, you still have to return it.
Wait, but then if they don't return it, do you just, like, ban them from coming back?
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
I have a list.
it's new to me, too, honestly. Like, of the libraries that I'm working at, we just implemented it. And, like, I haven't run through all the sheets, but the reasoning behind it, and, like, for wherever the chips fall, like, I will back this. It's, like, it's... We did it because fines, no matter what amount, kind of, like, bars out the people who might need the library the most. Because, like, a dollar fine, a $2 fine, like, it may not be, like, a big deal to, like, anyone in this room, but, like, to someone who maybe might be struggling a little more, that's, you know, it's a little harder, and, like, you know, or it could be embarrassment, it could be a lot of things. Like, we don't want that to be, like, the reason you don't come in. We want you to come in.
So that was actually a big problem in my childhood library, since you guys were talking about your childhood libraries. My parents would take me to the La Cañada library, which I still regularly go to. But the thing about the La Cañada library that's very specific is they have, again, like, very weird, rare, specific books.
Yeah.
And people would lose them. So on average, like, I would see people coming out of there with, like, $70 fines in the 90s. Because apparently, like you were saying, there's a point where it's a late fine and then they just charge you the book missing or the value of the book, because that's how they used to do it. But yeah, so people would get, like, $80 fines. You know, like, they just had crazy stuff. Like, they would actually check out art books, like, high-end art books, like the Chanel. Like, the Chanel and Coco books now that are so famous.
Yeah.
They would check those out at the library. And I think they still do. But I know one very specific book, like, I think I had a fine on it, but I found it eventually. It was a replica Victorian cookbook for Christmas.
Ooh.
Right?
That's awesome. I just love cookbooks.
Oh, okay. And I actually learned how to make, like, authentic popcorn balls and stuff from the era, and, like, all of that crazy stuff, like mold cider. I mean, obviously I was a kid and I wasn't gonna do it, but... You know, you live on American Girl and you think, God, this stuff is amazing. I want to live this high. And yeah, they do, like, really specific books at that library.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting. I wonder how they would work. Does that mean they're just going to not carry that many valuable books now? Who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
For some, like... For some libraries, they go all in on their collections, and that's part of It might be because there's someone who's just really passionate, and, you know, to have, like, a curated collection because someone really believed in it. That's a cool thing about having a library.
Mm-hmm.
I know with South Pasadena, there's a guy there who is really passionate about music, and they have a really excellent, like, these collector's editions of, like, Abbey Road. Like, it's, like, a four-disc set with, like, you know, an art book that comes with it, and, like, a lot of, like, old 60s, like, albums re-released.
Wow.
It's, like, fantastic. Because it's so pricey, there is, like, a sticker on it that's, like, this is... If anything happens to this, this is the charge. Like, they may make, like, exceptions for certain materials, like, let you know beforehand, like, this is kind of different from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys have a room. There's a room in Pasadena Central Library where you can't borrow the books or the magazines.
Which,
I think.
By the way, rest her soul.
Which one?
Central. Did you really have to bring that up?
I'm sorry. The Fan Film Awards came by. We were supposed to actually go back, but, you know, the structural issues that they had there.
Yeah.
Were...
So, for those that are listening, the Pasadena Central Library has been home to Azure Lorica, our nonprofit, for, I think, since 2015.
Yeah.
So it's been our home library and our home theater for 6 to 7 years now. And unfortunately, it's a gorgeous space. Let's just start with that. It's gorgeous. It's 3 stories, vintage library. I think it was built in the 1920s, 30s.
Yeah. All I know is that that side of Pasadena were, like, built by flappers.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's the same architecture in the City Hall, that historic Pasadena City Hall look. And it looks like Hogwarts inside.
Yeah.
In fact, there's even this giant Peter Pan library or fireplace inside the children's section. I love that thing so much.
Yeah.
But the library now has, structural issues, so nobody's in it, right?
I know that you could borrow books from them. I don't know if you could actually go inside unless you're an employee.
Okay, so like a curbside pickup situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The curbside looks almost like, you know, the COVID testing site. It almost feels like that when I go there.
I just know they're, like, they're... memoirs and, like, biography section is, so nice. It's 2 stories.
I know.
I didn't know there were that many Warren Buffett books.
Until
I walked by it. I was like, he has his own section. Holy moly. Yeah, so.
How much of it was Margaritaville?
Oh!
I don't know.
Cheeseburgers.
So, yeah. Interesting. But yeah, unfortunately, that's why, for now, Fan Film Awards is digital. I can't say thank God for the pandemic, but, you know, like, it helped us because we didn't know that we weren't going to have a venue space that year.
The only thing I could probably thank the pandemic for is for everybody to become tech savvy.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing I could think.
And we could have, like, more people join us internationally than
yes.
we used to.
Oh,
and
my
for
gosh,
the
especially
ones...
Italy? Oh my god.
Yes.
They were so grateful.
And for the ones that trekked out during the Fan Film Awards, out of the country, thank you. I mean, we've had Globetrotters.
Yes, yes. Especially the French. Thank you so much. You guys have been, like, amazing. Some of you couldn't even speak our language, and you ate
and you
a burger
still came,
with us.
And you ate an American omelet, which takes a lot of guts after knowing how phenomenal French omelets are.
I know. I'm so sorry, guys.
We're sorry, but you seem to like it.
I mean, they liked the fries. They didn't know they were, like, pommes de frites. But...
Yeah, but we don't tell them that. These
don't...
are Amera fries, I guess.
Well,
freedom fries. Right?
Yeah.
Freedom fries.
Freedom fries.
So America core.
Anyways. oh my god, I lost our train of thought. But
train of thought.
We were talking about libraries and checking things out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'm intrigued by when it comes down to the collections of every library is how you guys determine when you throw your books away.
Ooh.
That is something we get a lot. And you know what? Like, it's such Yeah, I'll go out and say it's such a bureaucratic thing. And I don't mean, like, the actual pulling out, although there are some rules to that as well. But, like, what happens to the books after? Because if it was... Every library has their own, like, system or things to work out. The ones that just put it in a box in the lobby, God bless you. Like, you do the Lord's work. Like, yeah. Yeah, just do that. Like, people like that. Like, and then there are some libraries that are like, well, we got to do this first. And even after we've gotten rid of it, it's like it goes somewhere else and we have to decide. And like, I'm sure they have their reasons, which is why it's so difficult whenever someone just like comes up and asks you like, oh, so what do you do with the old back issues of like Marie Carey or, you know, what do you do with the old copies of, you know, your worn out copies of X-Men number, whatever. Like I honestly don't know. I pull them, I give them to someone, and then they're just kind of out of my hands. Like, I really don't know what happens to them.
La horla.
Like, okay. Because there's, like, this system in place, and, like, I'm not a part of what happens after. I'm not part of that assembly line.
So, unfortunately, the library nearest to us, yes. I've had my friend confess that she dumpster dives their backlog because they just chuck the books.
Yeah. I mean, that is the one thing I know they do after they've like exhausted whatever else they do, is like it will end up in a dumpster. And the same goes for like donations too. And that's unfortunate, especially during the pandemic, because like we were just too scared. We had a procedure in place, and this happened to be the time when everyone decided to clean out their closet.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess, like, we're like, sorry, we're not taking donations, but, you know, someone will just leave it, like, on the steps of Notre Dame. And, we still don't know much about what's going on. Like, we kind of have to do this for our own safety. Like, I'm sorry.
No. Forgive us. We won't crucify you.
Yeah. No worries there. No worries. No, this is exactly what, how this all goes, 360 for me, because I used to work at a used bookstore, and dumpster diving is part of treasure hunting.
Yeah.
So, it's very real.
I mean, some of my favorite books that I've ever found, I know this is, like, crazy, but I've found them either at dollar stores or, like, in the donation bin. I mean, that's how I think I found... That's how I found Rosalind Miles.
Yeah.
And that's how I found... What's her name? The authoress of the 13th Tale. I forgot her name. She's doing a series now. I still haven't read her Bellman in Black, which is another interesting thing. But she's a great writer. I will find that later.
Yes,
just look up the 13th Tale. You won't be disappointed. It's like everything you want in a gothic horror novel.
And don't just watch the movie and expect that you're going to be an expert after that. That is literally like an eighth of what they give you in the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun, but it's only an eighth, guys.
Oh, because it's so dark, you can't turn it into a movie.
Yeah. Like, maybe a series. Maybe?
It's like up there with American Horror Story, I would say, in the gross content.
Yeah.
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 Anyways. Brian's like,
I'm just thinking about, like, interesting things I found in library trash. I did find a copy of Destiny for PS3. Because people donate media, too. And, like, sometimes, like, oh, we don't sell video games and we don't know what to do with it. It's in the trash. I'm like, oh. Okay.
You're like, what? Yes. Hello?
Yeah.
I know that you know, I go back to the LA Law Library every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's extensive with what they got, and it's so weird because, like, you know, there's a new law every year, if not every 6 months. And they still have to actually keep it in the archives. And at worst, they have archives that people don't even go to. I know the third floor, nobody ever enters. They say it's haunted. I want to go.
Oh, is it like all the criminal records, I wonder?
Maybe. Who knows? I know that the issue is dust particles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like kind of like a white glove kind of room.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Ooh, interesting.
I know, right?
All right, Brian, are you ready for a field trip?
Oh, I'm so down.
Okay. Every Halloween they open it up, so if you want,
okay,
we could go.
It sounds awesome, actually.
Yeah. 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 I know. I know there's also that archival library on Crenshaw.
Yes, in LA. The UCLA archive library.
Yeah, and the only reason why we know it is because, ironically, I took him to a walkthrough importance of being earnest play where you walk to each of the settings and it's in this old garden. But it's around the archival library.
Yeah.
And they have that old garden, like, trenched out area. I don't know how to explain it.
It's just beautiful.
Cool. It's beautiful. Really cool and beautiful. Yes. Well, I mean, we were talking about digital. That's my favorite. But,
Oh, can I chime in one other thing? Because you were talking about films. We, or rather, LA City has a new thing.
Uh-huh.
It's called Canopy.
I love Canopy.
Yeah, there we go. We listed all the ones. Like, I know I'm forgetting one of them. Canopy is amazing. Yeah, I love it. It's strictly films. You know, you had a lot of the A24 stuff, foreign films, and, like,
I'm not gonna lie, there was so much freaking, like, European, like, porno films on that thing, and it throws me off. I'm like, whoa, was not expecting that coming.
Well, sometimes the best surprises are the ones you don't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, so, if you're but if you're a smut reader and you're into that kind of stuff. There is a ton of that stuff on Canopy, and yes, there
Samurai are... Cop 2.
Oh yes. Yes, we watched Samurai Cop.
Oh my god, Tommy Wiseau, what is wrong with you?
Oh, so it's funny you mentioned that because, like, me and Brian were talking about it. I love Disaster Artist's book, and I'm so jealous because Brian actually went to the book signing in South Pasadena.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hate you right now. but yes.
Greg Sestero is a sweetheart. You're amazing.
Yes.
Oh.
Join our show. We know you live in South Park.
Maniacal laugh.
But yeah, that's, like, by far one of my favorite summer reads was Disaster Artist.
Okay.
And then if you get the audiobook version, he does a really good Tommy Wiseau impression.
Yes.
Yes, you get to hear him for 8 hours impersonating Tommy Wiseau.
I need that in my life.
Oh, it's golden.
It's
you
fantastic.
Really owe it to yourself to go, oh, and you can get that on Hoopla.
Yeah, it is. It is there.
Okay, so I'm going to bring this up really quick, but the reason why I love Hoopla is the selection isn't bestsellers per se, but you can check it out for 21 days, and you can renew it. There are no waits, but you are limited to 14 downloads. So the media goes, books are 21 days. That's either audio or regular. And then it is 7 days for soundtracks. And then it is 3 days for a movie.
Oh,
can you tell I use it frequently?
Yes.
That's 14 a month, right? And then, like, it re-ups the next month?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, a tip I recommend that if you don't finish all your downloads, if you have something on your list you've been meaning to get, download as many books as possible because you get a longer read time.
And, like, let's say you run out of checkouts or whatever you want to call it, you can put multiple cards on your Hoopla account.
I did not know that. You should not have told me that.
Like,
I'm going to get nothing done.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, and then for all of you comic book nerds, I will say this. Hoopla's comic book collection is extensive.
Yes, it is.
And it's up to date, like, by the week. To the week. It is really updated, and it's incredible.
I actually got to read Umbrella Academy there.
Yeah.
Nice. Like, I'm like, wait, are these the same stories? Like, it doesn't feel like it, but it's amazing.
I read the whole collection of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Ah, nice. Oh, in case anyone actually watches the cartoon Invincible, like, just buy the comic books. It's an extensive collection, as
or
is.
Or download Hoopla.
No, you can't. It's not.
Well, let's make a request. Brian, let's talk about that.
No, but he's... Okay, the author is still there. He's still doing his work. And I think people should actually be encouraged to kind of at least buy his stuff.
Okay.
I know, like, it's good to actually have the free stuff, but I think it's good to share the free stuff. That's what's going on.
Okay. But that brings up a good point. So what about if we can't find anything particular at our library or at...
Yeah, Brian, why?
I demand it now.
Well,
Amazon
what do we do?
Today.
Like you hit up every venue you can. If we're talking ebooks, if we're talking Hoopla,
yeah.
There is like a button there. It's like, don't see what you want. Like, I think you can make a request through the app. These are all apps. You can download them on your smart devices, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not sure specifically how Hoopla works. I'm trying to remember who owns Hoopla. Because with with Libby. What typically happens is, like, the library you've signed up with, let's say it's Los Angeles Public Library, like, I believe they do make the purchases, like, for that digital collection. It's run by, Libby, I believe, is run by the company Baker & Taylor, which is sort of like the, a lot of libraries will use that company to provide them their collections. Like, they'll buy through that company. They're the ones who also made that app, so it kind of works the same way. Like, some money is set aside. A librarian will be assigned to, like, digital stuff, and it's like, okay, so what should we add to the collection? Buying this, buying this, buying this, and then, you know, once those purchases are made, it ends up on Libby for the public to consume. So with if we're talking Libby. Definitely let your library know you want this. They'll have comment cards, they'll have email, the typical venues, because when it comes to purchases, whether it's physical or digital, like, or at least when I do it, I should say, and I, you know, a lot of librarians will have a similar mindset. If you want it bad enough and we're getting cards for it, we'll get it.
Because, like, I had a huge issue with, like, the LA library system, and they had me sit down and actually, like, look through their, you know, their computer archives, and I was just, like, so disappointed. I'm like, okay, the author, Nicanor Parra, you know, the poet, he's, like, a 1960s, 1970s poet, I could get his book. You know, the one that's actually translated in both Spanish and English. Mind you, it was a lot of digging. But Alexander Pushkin of Evgeny Onegin...
Only one of the most famous Russian
operas in the world. I'm like, are you serious? You only have it in Russian. I'm like, you can't get it in English? And, like, the minute I got it, I didn't even know, like, it was just the Russian version, too. And it came as a manuscript and not as the book. And I'm like, what? Am I getting trolled here? what's wrong with you people? So, okay.
Go ahead.
The other thing, too, is, like, because I just mentioned, like, we have, like, one supplier. Like, a lot of libraries will use that same one. And typically, like, if we can't find it there... it's different for every library.
Yeah.
But, like, that's kind of where, like, the search will end. I have known some libraries that will go the extra mile. They'll go to bookstores in, like, Little Armenia, or, like, Russian bookstores that specialize in that. And they'll, like, you know, they'll set some money aside and they'll... I mean, they don't bring, like, a wheelbarrow full of it. But, you know, they'll make a few choice selections and they'll bring it back.
Huh.
But for the most part, if it can't be found on Baker & Taylor...
No!
That's the tough part, and like that's kind of what I was saying before about like beer red tape or whatever. It's like I wish we did kind of branch out a little more. I'm not sure why this is the way it is, but that's kind of where we're at.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like I actually had to request the copy all the way from the downtown branch, which is obviously the biggest LA library we have in the LA library system.
Right.
So that place is like practically a castle.
You know? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, even the parking says it is.
If you require an escalator to get to the fourth floor, it's a castle.
Yeah. It takes up literally four blocks in downtown LA.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's right across from the U.S. Bank, which is like the biggest bank.
But still.
Yeah. Either way. Good Anyways, times.
So that's an interesting thing you brought up. Let's talk about reserving books, because I use that a lot.
Right. Okay, so spill the beans.
So with reserving, and if we're talking physical book, I got a crick in my neck.
Oh, you're good. So I'll start by saying you can create a library account with your card number. And usually your username is your phone number, I think. Your password is, like, the last digits of your phone number.
Yeah.
I forgot how it goes. It'll teach you online. But, you can search their database, and it's for your entire county. Yeah. And then what you do is you can type in a request based on the title. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of doing it. And then it'll ask which library you want it sent to. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But then the other one is, what do we do when we're there, like at the library, making a request?
Like in between what you've just mentioned and being there in person, I do want to offer that third option of calling in. Because that, like, we forget about the telephone, but like, yeah, just call us if you can't come in. You'll be directed to the reference desk, and you know, we'll take your order.
Cool.
I'll set that aside for you. It's the same process, like it's as you would going online, except like now you're just talking to a person, and that could be a helpful option if like you couldn't find it, but like, you know, why wouldn't you have copies of like this, you know, Catcher in the Rye or this thing assigned for your kid's school? Like a librarian will be there to kind of clarify what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. So there's that option, and then if you're coming in person, you want to walk up to the reference desk, which is different from where you check out the books. Like, those are two separate worlds. We work in tandem, but, like, if you're looking to, like, put stuff on hold, you want to go to where the librarian is sitting with, like, a computer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them know what you want. You know, they'll browse their own personal database, because what we're looking at is going to be a little different from what you're looking at, and we're trained to like, okay, so that means here, that means there, these little numbers mean here. It's like it's got a few extra details that like the public catalog may not have, but not that much more. It's really all just jargon. But anyway, you let them know what you want. They'll look for it. If there's an issue, they'll tell you what that issue is right there. But if, you know, if we have it, you know, and it's just checked out, for instance, yeah, just you'll give them your card, and then we'll just kind of handle the rest.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
Sweet.
Right here, I've been all frustrated.
And then like with ebooks, I'm not sure if we mentioned this already at the beginning or if this was before we recorded, but with ebooks it's great to place things on hold, because like there's none of that. Like, let's say like it's a popular book and someone they checked out the physical copy and they have a due date, but they just don't want to return it just yet at the due date. You know, they're willing to pay whatever. They just want a little few more days with the book. That is not the case with digital. With digital copies. Like if you have it and there's a wait list, like you're not getting any more time with it. It's gone. Yeah. It's going to the next person.
It's,
so
it's 14 days on Libby, and let me tell you, ooh, no. That is so frustrating sometimes. when I was listening to crazy rich Asians. That's what kept happening. So I could have finished the book probably in 3 weeks, but...
Nope.
No!
So, in this phone line, do you guys get prank callers?
That's an excellent... Well, now that you've said that, we will.
Yeah, like, have you heard of the Elder
Scrolls? Oh, that famous one. Have you seen that, where they call the library and they ask about the Elder Scrolls?
Like, if I were to get a call like that, I probably wouldn't get it right away, because, like, like, joke is not the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, I've done this for a while, and it's like, okay, I'm clearly mishearing you. Please say it again. Have I ever gotten any crank callers? I'm trying to think. No, like, I think at most, like, a call that feels like a prank, and then they're like, no, we're deadly serious. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, my bad. Like, I will help you.
Okay. I think, like, the only prank call I've ever done was probably when I was working at a publishing house. Well, the thing is, the departments are, like, only, like, 10 feet away from each other per room, but sometimes I would have to call, like, the front and ask for a book, because we have to ship it. And I got, well acquainted with the guy. We're cool. We're friends, I think. And he's pretty emo, so I start doing emo things, So I just call and just start breathing very heavily. And he'd know it was me, so...
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Hey, if you gotta, like, have fun at a place where you have to be quiet and stare at screens all day, you gotta be creative.
That's what you do.
Gotta be creative.
Like, I'm pretty sure I've done that with friends, but, like, I didn't realize it was, like, an emo thing. Like, it was just us, like, being us, like... How's it going?
I only associate emos, doing those things just because, like, they just always have, like, these, like, really, like, I guess, like, either you're either trashy,
mm-hmm.
or you're just sad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, a good medium place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, it's just...
What? What?
I'm
How?
Trying to figure out the correlation, but...
With emo? Oh, he had an emo fringe. Huh?
No, and the heavy breathing.
Oh, because emo guys are usually gay or, like, totally down to actually make out with almost anyone.
Are you talking about, like, metrosexual?
Yes.
Wasn't that a thing back then?
Yeah, it was. It was our version of pansexuality.
Oh.
Well, I feel like now it's just like, oh, it's just a Tuesday. You know, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, which is great. Like, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's definitely less taboo now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
I started getting more into, like, emo music now that I'm, like, 30. I don't know what happened. Like, though I should say, like, mainstream emo. I was like, oh, I really love My Chemical Romance. Like, Helena's great. Which I did check out that album, which I'm forgetting the name of it. It's like two lovers and it's black.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I checked that one out from the library. I was like, I don't know why I feel this cruising music. I dig it.
Well, you ever notice that? Like, I get things from the 90s that we used to think was so hard, and now it just kind of, like, later.
Right. Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, no doubt, back in the day, everyone thought it was so hard, and now it's, like, kind of, like, poppy show tunes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the foresight, like, oh, okay, now. Not that there's anything wrong with poppy show tunes. Like, I dig whenever, like, the spiderweb one comes on. Like, oh, I'm digging it so much. Like, I'll actively search for it.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, you want me to confess something? Okay.
No.
I know I, like, play Radiohead nowadays. It's, like, my go-to when I just want to relax.
I know when you were into, like, the whole baby metal phase.
Oh, that, yeah.
And everyone was very confused.
Well, I mean, everybody else was into it. I don't know why people were confused.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's probably the issue, though. I just realized. I don't listen to pop idols from Japan. You know? Mm-hmm. I never listened to, like, J-pop or anything like that.
Okay.
All of a sudden, out comes Baby Metal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm okay with this.
Oh, what's that, what's that band with the growler? Lady Baby.
Lady Baby.
We almost had him at NinjaCon.
It's kind of okay that we didn't.
Yeah.
It's to promote his show. We didn't watch his show.
We didn't watch his show, but yeah.
That maybe was episode one. Where, like, this old grandpa, in a, you know, wearing a maid costume dies in front of, like, Oto-san! Oh, like, you're not even Japanese! good stuff.
I'm trying to think of anything else I could recommend. Oh, book signings at libraries are totally free and awesome.
Yes, but that still also means that they sell books at the library. I love that part.
That's true. Like, if you get an author to come by, like, usually, like, for the most part, like, going to the event will be free. The book signing afterward is usually you purchase it and then you go. I know that's how the Bryan Cranston signing was at Glendale. I attended that, and it was great. Like, he's great. And then afterward, you buy a pre-signed book. With any event at the library, it has to, when we're planning programs, they have to be free to the public. So it can't be just like, hey, I'm here, can I sell this in your place? It's like, well, no, there needs to be like this program that we can offer too, that's like, that will be beneficial for the community, because we have the community in mind whenever we plan any of these things, whether you're in children's department or you're an adult planning like book events, book clubs, talks, etc. As long as you hit those marks, like, you have a chance. That said, like, I can't promise everyone who wants to have their program at the library, like, that I can't promise that you'll always have a spot, but, like, you know, you can try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I know that we frequented the library systems for programs. I mean, like, we go down near NoHo libraries. I don't know which library it was, but they're, like, famous for script readings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know, like, down at like the Foothill libraries over here, we actually do like film screenings.
Mm-hmm.
So those are great.
Well, even our board member Diana,
yeah,
she did a filmmaking workshop in the summer for kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she teaches at Oxy, so.
Yeah. Occidental College.
Yes.
For those that don't know.
You can tell. Yes. We're local.
Speaking of which, though, I realize that there's always like a particular person designated for children's, teens, and adult programs. Is there a reason for that?
Yes, because there's designated children's, teens, and adults librarians. That's actually, yeah, it's the first thing you learn in library school. They'll ask you, okay, so first, what kind of library do you want to work in? Do you want to work in an academic library, public library, or specialized library? Because they all kind of have different things. In an academic library, you're a librarian, but you're also expected to teach and write papers. Specialized library, it could be a museum, or whatever, but you better have specialized knowledge in that subject. And then public, you better be good with working with the public, because that's what it is. I went with public, just because I didn't want to, like, write papers or teach. And then, okay, so now you're in the public library. Now what? So now you break that down into the three categories. Your children's librarian, your teen librarian, and your adult librarian. Like, the development of a human being requires, like, specialized, like, knowledge. Like, that's why we kind of do it that way. So you're a kid's librarian, you've studied for that, like, you kind of know what they need, what their programs, the best programs for their developing mind would be. Teens, very special age, so, you know, you gotta specialize in that. And then adults, you know, it's adults.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why that is how that is. I also want to add, now that we live in the future and things are changing, some libraries are adopting on top of what I've just told you, specializations for librarians. So now it's no longer just you're a children's librarian. Now you're a children's librarian with a specialty in like youth literacy or like K or like K through five education system.
Wow.
You're an adult librarian who specializes in digital literacy or specializes in reader engagement. And it's not necessarily like something you learn in school, but like it's something that you have been assigned to focus on. And a lot mm-hmm. of people, a lot of librarians like excel at it and like they're good at it. It's like, yeah, I'm really good at like coming up with programs to help kids learn computers or whatnot.
Okay.
So on that, because another reason I use the library religiously pre-pandemic, I was teaching and I just got my position doing like SAT, ACT prep courses. I will tell you this, between like regular bookstores and what's actually at libraries, like in terms of like textbook knowledge and like just that kind of educational knowledge, nothing beats the library collection. Like, by default, there are just books that I guess have worked for years and you can't, you know, you can't put a price on them. Because they, you know, everybody wants new material, so they print new material at all times. So then you lose it. Mm-hmm. But if it's in a particular subject, they will keep the really good ones that get checked out. Mm-hmm. And that is so valuable mm-hmm. for me as an educator.
Okay.
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for throwing that out.
Yeah, because you were talking about specialists, so mm-hmm. I can totally see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you say, like, I think you're referring to the reference section. That whole collection that's not allowed to be checked out, but, like, you know, because it's so popular. People depend on it. Like,
yes.
It needs to be there, so that's why you can't check it out.
Oh, no, but even, like, any of, like, the essay prep and stuff like that, like, for anyone that's looking to do applications for college and stuff, that's where it's at. You go to the library.
If I can add to that.
Yeah.
That's getting, like, digitized, too. I mean, you're welcome.
Great.
You're welcome to come in. Like, all of that stuff is true. But libraries are jumping on, like, the online test prep thing. We'll have Peterson's test prep courses.
That is so good.
It's great. Like, online test prep for a lot of, like, career-oriented, like, exams. Like, I think we got HiSET.
I'm probably going to end a lot of people's careers saying this, but really what I noticed when I was teaching is just a lot of people, like, kind of just think last minute, like, oh, I need to study for this. And then that's why you fail. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. if you can get hands-on, like you were saying, digital testing and mm-hmm. pre-testing,
mm-hmm.
that's, like, solid.
Yeah.
If you just do that regularly, mm-hmm. it's amazing. So. Yeah.
And, like, don't wait for the library to open. Just hop onto our website. It's there 24/7. You'll get immediate feedback. One of the things we've adopted that I really love, online tutoring.
Yes.
Yeah, LA Public Library has that. It's live. Like, it's chat. So if you can work a chat, you can do this, but you get a live person. If you're a kid, you're a teen, you're a college student, use that. Ask them your question. They'll explain it to you. And I've spoken to these tutors, like, through chat. It's amazing. Like, they know what they're talking about. And if you still don't understand, you know what? They'll draw you a picture on a whiteboard. It comes with a whiteboard. Like, if you need to draw it to help them understand, or if they need to draw it to help you understand, they will do it.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So another hidden treasure, you just reminded me. Sure. I mean, I feel like we're bouncing back sure. and forth with each other, which is great. We were talking about events. They're all listed online, but also a lot of people don't know that there are book meetups
mm-hmm.
Ooh,
that are scheduled.
Yes.
Like, the one I really wanted to do is, since you were talking about different museums, and I was looking at the Homestead Museum, which is where the first mayor of California, or Los Angeles, is buried and was raised.
Yeah.
They had a true crime book club, and they would actually have historians come out and talk about the crime and redo the case and see if they could solve it. And it was so cool.
That's impressive.
You know, like, with the technology we have now, like, do you think we could find this serial killer, or was it done this way? But there's so many fascinating book clubs out there, specifically with the library. I mean, there's even, like, an anime club and a
movie club.
What else is there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very, very well aware of the anime clubs. Like, they're the ones that practically built the entire manga section.
Yeah.
Every library. And it's intriguing over what they collect. Because, you know, like, it's either shoujo, like, you know, heavy, or, like, shonen heavy. But then, even then, you start getting into, like, the horror stuff. And some of these graphic novels, you didn't even know they existed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you could even try to go to Barnes & Noble. I dare you. Fine, go ahead. But some of this stuff, you can't get it because it's like, what? It was published during the 90s or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's just incredible. If there's something that you like that another person has a passion in, like, I would say 9 times out of 10, they've brought it to the attention of the library and there's something in place for it. Or they're just waiting for someone else to put it out there.
Yeah. And with manga, like, I love when a reprint of something comes out, because, like, when we try to hold on to stuff that we know people like, sometimes the condition is just bad. Like, you know, you gotta weigh, like, how much people love it versus, like, and if you can get another copy, that's why I love reprints. Like, if we can get another copy, that'd be fantastic. So, like, as a librarian who purchases, like, that's always kind of, like, on my radar, like, okay, is there going to be a reprint? Is there going to be something I can do to replace this, like, dying copy of, like, volumes 1 through 5 of Naruto?
Oh.
It's like, because this thing is falling apart. Yeah, and with, I do want to point out, there is manga on Libby. You can go get there. I wasn't sure when we brought this up earlier if I should bring it up. There is manga smut on there too.
you gotta
die for it.
But let me just say, I am very proud of the library system for not discriminating.
Yes.
Because the fact that, I mean, I'm not intentionally looking for smut, but the fact that there's European films on there with a different mindset that would never set foot in America, that happened to be phenomenal, and I can get access to it, is great. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Because it was like watching Amelie, you know? Like,
yeah, that was considered just the bare minimum you could do.
Exactly. And, like, you didn't get into that mindset, but then you also watch The Shape of Water, and you're like, wait. It's like, is there something I'm missing here?
Oh, which, you know? By the way, Shape of Water, the book, is phenomenal. I'm just throwing that out there. Any of the authors that redo the movies for Guillermo del Toro are just, oh, it's just divine. It is such a good read.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Sorry, you brought it up. And they actually dive in more to, like, all the other characters, but it's particularly over, like, they talk about, like, taboo subjects, like PTSD. They talk about just, like, even, like, gay pride in the 1960s and, like, you know, like, the... Yeah. All that stuff. It's in there.
Yeah.
Like, the pride marches and yada yada.
Yeah. Which is exactly why I was actually trying to, you know, get to. Because, like, the perspective that you get internationally is, like, their flavor of what is both faux pas and, you know...
What's indie, I think, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, What's one on Canopy I really liked? Venus and Furs, I introduced to you, is an incredible... it's a classic French movie. But you can't watch it in front of your mom! It's a classic... Okay, so the premise is it's a classic French film that's been redone a few times. Yes. Because it's just a great... I think it was a stage play.
Yeah.
But it's about a meek actress applying to a role that was written by this guy. He's like this like total masculine director. He's the mansplain type, you know.
Yeah.
But she gets in character slowly because he wants like kind of a temptress character, and she flips the script on him because she knows how men write women.
Yes.
And eventually she becomes like this dominatrix character and takes over the entire production.
Yes.
It is so cool.
Oh my gosh.
And it's only two characters, and it's done within a span of like the time setting is 24 hours. So it's overnight. They lock themselves in this theater, and it's awesome. Yeah. Just go watch it.
Thank you. I was like so worried, like you were going to give away the ending. I was like, oh
yeah,
it's so hard not to give away the ending.
Yes.
You know, so
but that's taboo here because you know there's a lot of bootlicking in that film.
Oh yes,
is a nice way to put it.
Yeah, no, I mean even going back to the whole manga thing, Osamu Tezuka, the guy that did Astro Boy, he has smut mangas too.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know until like you you go into the the Pasadena system and you're like, oh. Oh! Okay.
Yeah.
At least we know what we're writing today.
Well, my favorite author that unfortunately is a smut author is Video Girl Eyes.
Oh, yes!
Oh, that is such a good... Oh, my God! It is such a good series.
I know.
It's written so endearingly. It just happens to have a lot of nudity in it.
A lot of, yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. No, that's why I actually was so curious about DNA Squared. I'm just like, it's not that it was a good show. It's just, he has more. And I was impressed. And
I love how some you of can't these... finish the sentences. You're like, DNA Squared. Okay.
Some of his stuff, they are so elusive now that you would have to actually go into, like, forums that would give you viruses on your computer just to find the live version, okay? Live version of Video Girl A, Video Girl I.
I've seen it.
Okay. And then, like, he has this series of, like, just four episodes where people swear it's gotta be, like, the best shoujo they've ever seen in their life.
Hmm.
You know?
And interesting.
Ironic. It's called I. The letter I.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's just... it's just hard to find some of these things, and it's surprising that the library has it.
Okay, right. But yeah, so I'm just going to say that we're already running pretty long.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good place to end. Let's talk about media preservation.
Okay.
Because that's a big job of just generally what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And passing that information from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
So I think you're referring specifically to, like, archive work. Because there are some items that we may not, like, save at all. Like, we just had a discussion about things we throw out.
Yeah.
But, like, things of, like, cultural importance. Let's say, for instance, like, the Ray Bradbury collection out in South Pasadena, like, we're never gonna throw that out.
Yeah.
Of course not. Like, that's... but, you know, you do have, like, libraries whose job it is to, like... well, really more, like, local culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of their job will be, like, make sure, like, that gets promoted, or, like, you run that collection, and then, have specialized events around that. When you say preservation, do you mean, like, the literal preservation, making sure it doesn't die?
Yeah, I guess. How do you... you see the way that society evolves and things change. And I guess you guys have the burden of, well, like, for example, oh, I was just thinking about this, Animorphs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, there were so many of those books, and I'm sure, like, they're not relevant now, but I know there's, like, an insane occult following for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you just, what eventually makes you go, okay, this is garbage?
Really, it's just kind of public interest. It's hard to gauge, like, what is gonna, like, first have a cult following, or what's gonna have, like, its renaissance. I think the thing as a librarian that came out of nowhere, for me, maybe some people saw it coming, the return of the Babysitter's Club. Especially since, with graphic novel, it's amazing! Like, especially since it got, like, a graphic novel reboot, Raina Telgemeier's illustrations are just amazing. Like, I love it. Like, I understand its popularity.
Uh-huh.
Like, among all kids, like, I'll get a bunch of, like, different, you know, kids from different backgrounds. Like, do you have this issue of the Babysitter's Club? I'm like, absolutely I do. Or, actually, you know, I can't say that because they're always off the shelf. But, like, because the graphic novels came back first, and because that did so well, the original novels got a reprint, that's the part I didn't see coming, because, like, you think Babysitter's Club, you see that 90s cover with, like, the title is spelled out with those blocks,
yeah,
and it's, you know, those old illustrations. Like, in my mind, when I started this career, it's like, there's no way that's coming back. Mm-hmm. And then it did, and it's got a better cover because people just couldn't get enough of it. That's great. Like, so it is sort of the will of the people that just helps us decide, like, we're getting it back, okay. And it's going to be on that shelf, for you.
Okay.
Nice. Does it also have something to do with maybe local history? Like, I know specifically in Hollywood, it's obviously, like, film history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would place that with local culture, because if it's important to the community, we will try to preserve it. If it's an author that is known, is established, and they have a connection to the community, then we'll have, like, you know, we'll have their copies of the book on the shelf, but we may also have, like, some separated out so that the public just doesn't lose it.
Yeah.
Like, it's here in, like, reference as well, because, like, you may be a kid who needs to write about this author. And we don't, you know, we want to make sure you have a copy, so here it is for you.
Mm.
It's less worn out because it doesn't get checked out.
Hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because I was interviewed a while back by, what's it called? A Marjorie magazine.
Yeah.
And they've been great supporters of T-Spectral. But one of the things they asked me is, what inspires you? And what makes you make these tea blends? And quite honestly, a lot of it is just LA has such a rich history, and you just, it's in your face and it's intense if you go looking for it. So
absolutely.
I was telling them, if you want to get started, just start where you are and make sure, I mean, just go check out your library and see what local things have happened there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Andy Warhol was, like, known there. Also Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
So, just the whole Pasadena culture itself is just...
Yeah, like, Caltech was an Einstein thing, and a lot of people don't think that. Or, like, even where we live near the E.T. house.
Right.
Random fact.
Oh, boy. They're all gonna Google it now.
Oh, it's okay. We're close, but far enough.
Okay. Cool.
What else is there? I mean, just, I remember just so much inspiration walking through Alvera Street, not just on the busy, but at nighttime.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But yeah, I mean, the library kind of holds all the secrets to the town, let's be real.
Yeah.
Even by archive, papers.
Yes.
You name it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is like the thumbprint of a community. Mm-hmm. Like, it's our job to kind of take the pulse and kind of keep records of, like, what's going on. And I think that's what kind of makes each library system in LA so unique, because there's just so many different systems, different cities are unique. What I like a lot about the Burbank library system is Burbank is an animation town. So that's why, if you notice, like, the manga is so good, or, like, if you notice our anime collection, well, it's because, like, we get a lot of, like, people from that industry who are coming in.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Cartoon Network is, like, the biggest building in downtown, so.
Like, yeah. And, like, yeah. They're off time. It's like, yeah, I want to go and I want to watch, like, what's it, Fooly Cooly or whatever, like, who has it? They got it! There we go. Yeah.
Ah. So, I guess on that note, is there any last tips, tricks, or things you want people to know when entering a library? And then also, what was your favorite experience in helping someone?
Like, I'm wondering how much I can tell, like, in my head, like, because it's like, I know what my favorite, like, experience was, or at least I know it now, but, like, I also don't want to, like, if that person's out there, I don't want to give it away either. Let me think. Like, look, they're all special in their own way.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice, very nice librarian thing for you to say.
Well, yeah, like,
don't treat them like retail.
Like,
let's do that.
I feel like I get treated like a bartender sometimes, because it's like they feel like they can just talk to you about anything, and like that's kind of like a real thrill of the job. It's like someone comes up to you, and they're like, "Oh, I'm looking for this," and like, "Okay," and then like, there's that brief moment where I'm looking it up, and then they decide, here's why I'm looking for this. And it's like, it's their whole life story up until now, and it's like, I know it looks like I'm, like, fixed, like, on my computer, but I am listening to you, like, I'm, like, when I'm done finding this, like, I will look in you in the eye, I'm like, oh, that's, like, you know, that's very interesting, like, I know with my demeanor it doesn't look like it, but, like, I really absorbed all of that, and I really like how you told that to me, and you could be, like, I don't want to say vulnerable, like, it's not always the case, but, like...
Open.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can be so open about it, and, like, I really appreciate that.
That's lovely.
So, the reason why I ask is, the first time I can't say the first time I went into a library, but the first time I realized it was really something magical was, you know, you're in fourth grade, you get your first biography assignment. And one of the biggest treasures I had was my mom, and it was a weekend, we walked into the library, and you have that big reference desk, and there's usually, like, two librarians, and they have chairs there, and I never knew why, but we sat down together, and they custom picked, like, three or four books for my age range based on that. And it was just such a personal experience, and I never knew you could do that at the library until then, that it just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something really, like, I guess magical, and I really, like, hope kids can have that experience, or adults at any age, really. So, you know, me, I'm a history nerd, so that's why I brought up search your interests locally,
yeah,
like where you live. I mean, there's nothing cooler than knowing all the little things about your town.
Yeah.
And why they are, why it is the way it is. But yeah, I think that there's something magical about librarians being able to, I guess, bridge that intimidating gap of knowledge is kind of out there, but they're sort of like the lamplighters that know where to find these things.
Okay.
So
that was really touching, and like, I'm really glad we could be that for you. I'm glad our space could be that place for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm hoping that it will always be the case.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
But anyways, on that note, we hope all of you have enjoyed this. I mean, feel free to email us if you have any questions. We'll definitely pass them over to Brian. Any thoughts?
Nothing really. I think Brian actually eased my frustration.
The saga continues.
The saga continues. Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah, but on that note, don't be shy. Say hi to your librarians. Yeah.
Cool. It was a pleasure doing this. You're both lovely. This podcast is lovely.
All right.
A pleasure.
All right, and on that note, let's cheers, and we'll call it a day.
Cheers.
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 Thank you.